C1G.
Number 4B.
What is our answer to this most important question that really is the piece of Genesis? She says, in its genesis, the science of creation is stated in mathematical order, beginning with the lowest form and ascending the scale of being up to man. So, really, she first says, there is a mathematical order. That order is an ascending order. And that man, at the sixth day, is really brought out as a sixth stage in this mathematical order. Which brings us really back to the further fundamental question that we say and have to say, well, if there is a mathematical order leading up to the sixth day of man, what then are the other stages? What is stage 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 leading up to the stage 6? If it is a mathematical order, it must be a law. It must not just be a presentation the way some biblical writer just felt, I'm going to write a nice story about creation. It must be creation must be a symbolization of a fundamental law, where we can define the elements of that law, namely through the 7 days of creation. So this is the first answer that Mrs. Eddy gives. Then she says, but all that really exists always was and forever is. Can you see again the comparison? For it existed in and of the mind that is God, wherein man is foremost. So again she answers through those two questions, being and becoming. Now, how does the chapter Genesis show that there is an ascending order in being? And therefore, also here you can say, well, let's prove that sense through the quantity of text, the recurring of this idea of ascending thought. And if you have gone through those 70 pages, you have certainly found a dozen, two dozen indication that we have to deal with an order in being. When I say, just with a few words, that there is order in being, I really mean something very terrific. You know, when I look back in the years before World War II, when we were interested in Christian Science, as everybody else in the movement was interested, you were reading something in the textbook that there is a divine order, that the divine order comes down from heaven and things like that. You ask yourself, what is that order? How does that order show itself in a sequence, in successive steps? And you know what was the answer when you didn't know and you were asking all the other Christian Scientists, first your practitioner, then your teachers, and the lecturers that came around, you ask anybody. That was my big question. At the beginning of the 1930s, I asked anybody I could meet and say, now you tell me, what is the order of which Mrs. Eddy speaks? What do you feel what the answer was that I got? Huh? Order is order. Yes, there is order in being. Yes, God acts in order. Now, what can you do with that? Nothing. Just as if I would ask, tell me the order of arithmetic, and the answer would be, yes, arithmetic has order. It's actually so. Can you do anything about it? Can you see that it struck me, rather real struck, like lightning, when for the first time I heard something that John Dolly was telling something about the divine order. That was the falling apple for me. That was a key that I said, this man knows something about science. And anybody else I have asked, always the same answer, yes, order is order. It's actually so, you know, God works according to order. But what that order is? I was asking, what are the laws of God? I was trained in the university that if we talk about the law, that you can state the law in definite elements that were absolutely fixed. You couldn't just exchange that elements or drop one element or put another element in. The laws, like laws of physics or laws of chemistry or so, had elements and the relationship between those elements, and that was defined properly, and then you had a law. So I ask myself, where are the laws of God? The textbook is full of a statement that God has laws, that God is law, that the laws of God, the laws of Christian Science, the laws of life, truth and love. Tell me, what are the laws? You ask them. What answer do you get? Well, law is law. Yes, there is law. Yes, God is law. Can you do anything about it? Can you demonstrate chemistry by asking me what are the laws of chemistry? And I say, yes, chemistry has laws. You can't do a thing. So, when I say here, you see, that Mrs. Ellis says that creation is stated in mathematical order, and order can be seen actually as defining the steps of that order, then we really get to the core of the science of creation. And so this question that I ask here, does the text in Genesis tell us something that there is actually step-by-step order? Then one is surprised to see that the text is full of these terms, like the following. And I just read again, just for the sake of showing the quantity of impressing the reader with that very fact that there is a definite order. Now, this subject is nowhere in the textbook else. The textbook, the chapters are written in an order. But here, when it comes to the key, it is shown that the key lies in an order, and that we must know that order. So, just listen to those many, many renderings. And I just take out a few words and renderings out of the text so that I don't have to read a lot. She speaks about the unfolding of spiritual ideas. Okay, everybody says, yes, spiritual ideas unfold, but how? It is an unfolding where these ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity. So I already know there is an order from the smallest to the highest, whatever that order then is. And the highest ideas, she says, are the sons and daughters of God. Then she says, the successive appearing of God's idea. So I know that there is a succession, a sequence of ideas, a sequence of ideas, that this gives spiritually clearer views of him. So I know there must be a sequence which has a purpose, namely to lead thought to clearer and clearer views of God. She says that thus the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive stage of progress. So there are stages of progress, and there are successive stages, so that one follows the next. So our inquiry is getting very excited and say, now what is this successive stages? What are they? She speaks about forming each successive stage of progress. She speaks about that it appears in the line of spiritual creation. It's a line. Can you see? It's not a jumping around, a haphazard thing, but a line. It's a chain of scientific being, where each link links into the other link in an ordered way, appearing in the line of spiritual creation, from mental molecules to infinity, again, gives the range that this creative order really starts right from the lowest and from the beginning and covers the whole range of creation to infinity. That she says that she names the female gender lost in the ascending order of creation. So I know already again something that the female quality, that the female consciousness is a lost stage and not the first stage of that ascending order, rising from the lesser to the greater. Again an order from the lesser to the greater. She speaks about the third stage in the order of Christian Science. This is very instructive. It is a third stage. If there is a third stage, there must be a first and second at least, leaving it open if there is also a fourth, because she said the third and not the last, so there is already open that there may be even a fourth. What are these stages? We have to know these stages. Why should we know these stages? Why on earth? Because, I tell you why. What are you doing if you want to give yourself a treatment? Where do you start? Somewhere. Okay, somewhere. What do you do then, after that somewhere? What is the next? You know very well that you jump around and just gather some kind of truth that you have learned. But is that order? And if it's not order, it is not science. And if it's not science, it's just simple metaphysics. Metaphysics that is taught all over the place in all the various metaphysical groups, all that stuff, but not science. So can you see that you should be so deeply interested to find out what is order in being? Because that is not an academical question, it is your life. It's a question of life and death for you. And not just an interesting question. It is a question, how are we going to educate in a scientific way our way of thinking, so that we really start at the beginning and not at the end. And that we know when we start at the beginning and know what the beginning is, what is the second step? What is the third unfolding step? What is the third stage in the order of Christian Science? And so on. She said that our Master reappeared on the third day of his ascending thought. So he reappeared in his life, in his spiritual ascension on the third day, indicating really that the resurrection was symbolizing the third stage in the order of Christian Science. She talks about the rarefaction of thought as it ascends higher. Therefore, it would show us that if we would know that order, that has as one of its main purposes the rarefaction of thought, that it lifts us up, that it exalts us, that it is a way of exaltation, a scientific way of exaltation. It's not an emotional way of exaltation. It's not a way of singing hymns and I don't know what to exalt oneself, but that it is an ordered way. She speaks about the periods of spiritual ascension. So it's not just a spiritual ascension, there are periods in it. You can say periods or stages or states of unfoldment. It's quite interesting that she says here, the periods of spiritual ascension are the days and seasons of mind's creation. Have you ever noticed what that means? You see in one short sentence the whole depth of that Genesis that says that the periods of spiritual ascensions are what? What are those periods? What are those stages? What makes up spiritual ascensions? It says the days. The days are the 7 days. And the seasons, there are only 4 seasons. And the Bible always used the 4 seasons in order to indicate the 4 sides of the holy city. So actually what she says, the period of spiritual ascension are the 7 synonymous term and the 4 sides of the holy city of mind's creation. Can you see? Can you see what she says? Can you see what she says? Can you see the simplicity of it, what she says? Here we are. Some of you, I look at you, not all of them, thank God, have studied the textbook for 40 years, 30 years, perhaps 50 years, the others for 20 years. 20 years studying the textbook, the same textbook, the same text, over and over, and I would say with sincerity, have you had a sense that over those 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you could witness by looking back a spiritual ascension? I only hear people telling me that they knew Christian Science better when they came in than what they know now. But they haven't learned a thing in those 50 years. They come and say, before I joined the church, I knew something about the Christian Science. Since I joined the church, I've gone down. Things like that. Why? It's absolutely clear. Because there was no scientific education. There were no days and no seasons. No days and no seasons. There were no culture in the fundamental categories of being. In the 7 days, in the 7 synonymous term, and the 4 sides of the holy city. If we see that these belong to the order of our spiritual culture, see? Then these are adapted for the divine infinite calculus which really give us an ascending way and a spiritual ascension. She says that the changing glow and full effulgence mark the periods of progress. Again, periods of progress. She speaks about the advancing spiritual steps. So you can say, yes, sure, there are advancing spiritual steps. We can advance spiritually. But we want to know, what are they? Not that they exist. I'm not interested to know that chemistry exists, that physics exists. I want to know, what are the laws of physics? What are the laws of chemistry? And no one can really demonstrate physics or chemistry without the laws. Why should we try to demonstrate the infinite I am without that other category, the ascending order, the 7 and the 4? Or she speaks about mind's ideas, that they climb in humility the heights of holiness. So they climb, they go up, they go upward, they ascend constantly. Can you hear? The text is full of that sense of advancing spiritual steps, higher sense, ascending spiritual steps. Yes, I think in this way I've said enough about impressing the reader that if he reads the text as it is, you see, that he finds, for instance, these two big elements, namely the infinitude on one hand, and then the way how to reach that infinitude. So there are two categories on two different levels. The one, the I am, the being, is on the category of the absolute sense, where everything is complete. The other category is how we can fathom that infinitude. And we can fathom that infinitude through these ascending steps in spiritual order. So you can see what really is at the core of things. It shows you cannot start out just by saying there is an infinite and there is an infinitude and that there is the one being and that's all there is to be known. You have to have that other category where we ascend from the lowest to the highest in our understanding, so that we step by step get rid of a false sense of that infinite one, and by getting rid of it step by step through an ordered sequence of the 7 days of creation, through the days and seasons, we arrive finally at the seventh stage, where the seventh stage coincides with the I am. So there we meet, and then they coincide. And this coinciding is brought out in the biblical text through showing that every day is a day of evening and morning. That is a recurring subject, and the evening and the morning were this day, this day, this day. Because evening and morning give us those two senses again, of being and becoming. The day of the Hebrews started always at 6 o'clock in the evening. So that from evening to the morning was a day. It wasn't so as we have our day that starts in the morning and ends in the evening. For the Hebrew, it started in the evening and ended in the morning. And that gives a wonderful symbol of what we have been considering. What is the evening state of thought? The evening state of thought is really what Mrs. Eddy explains in the glossary as peace and rest. You can see where nothing is happening anymore, where there is no more creative ability, no more creative action. All there is now, is at the point of fulfillment. If you have an evening state of thought, you feel all is accomplished, all is done, and it gives a wonderful sense of isness. Morning is quite a different thing. Mrs. Eddy explains morning as light, the symbol of truth, revelation, and progress. So here we find here the day starts out with the morning, with new activity, with progress, with activity, and so gives the sense of the working sense, the ascending sense, going on again and going further again. So that actually evening has a tone of love where everything is fulfilled. Morning, as she says, is a symbol of truth. And she says, and the evening and the morning was the day. And Mrs. Eddy explains day how. She summarizes the evening and morning, says it is the irradiance of life, the spiritual idea of truth, like the morning, and love. So again you have a sense of that through that we go out from evening state of thought, again from love. Just as the first part of creation goes out from love and mind. And we go out from a state where we sit down and see that we are at rest, that we are at peace, so that there are no troubled waters anymore, that we see actually anyway what's going on is just God, and nothing but God goes on. Therefore there is no reason for being troubled in any way and shape and form. That's a sense of love. Then this becomes a morning, namely the symbol of truth. So the accent changes from love to truth, like in the second record of creation, the second part. And we have again the activity of that truth, the revelation and progress. Going on again, ascending higher and higher, and that makes a day, and the day has again the main tone of life, the irradiance of life. So again, in this symbol of evening, morning, forming a day, you have actually, in a nutshell, those three parts of Genesis. First part, love as mind. Second part, truth as mind. The last part, life as mind. The beingness of being. Then the day is the beingness of the evening and the morning. These are symbols, but these symbols are here that they indicate to us what kind of a state of consciousness we should culture. Okay.